Omaha Public Radio presents another program from the E.N. Thompson Forum on World Issues on Noon Forum. The E.N. Thompson Forum is co-sponsored by the Cooper Foundation, the LEAD Center, and the University of Nebraska at Lincoln. Today we'll hear a talk by Shirin Ebadi, former professor at the University of Tehran, who earned the Nobel Peace Prize in 2003, recognizing her significant and pioneering efforts in democracy and human rights, especially for the rights of women, children, and refugees. She'll speak on the topic True Islam, Human Rights, Faith, and Women. Dr. Ebadi's remarks were given as the annual Lewis E. Harris Lecture on Public Policy. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Tuesday evening, February 26, 2013, for broadcast at this time. The opinions expressed are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of the sponsors of the E.N. Thompson Forum, KIOS-FM, or the Omaha Public School District. Here now to introduce the program is Harvey Perlman, the Chancellor of the University of Nebraska at Lincoln. The question and answer session will be moderated by Lloyd Ambrosius, Samuel Clark Waugh Distinguished Professor of International Relations, and Professor of History at the University of Nebraska at Lincoln, and Chairman of the Program Committee of the E.N. Thompson Forum on World Issues.
As an Iranian lawyer and human rights activist, Dr. Ebadi was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in 2003. For her significant and pioneering efforts in democracy and human rights, especially for the rights of women and children. She is the first Iranian and the first Muslim woman to receive the prize. She is the founder and leader of the Association for Support of Children's Rights in Iran. She is the author of a number of academic books and articles focused on human rights and has had several books translated into English. In 2006, Random House published her memoir, Iran Awakening. She has spoken out clearly and strongly in her country of Iran and far beyond its borders. She has stood up as a professional and courageous person who has argued for a new interpretation of Islamic law, which is in harmony with vital human rights, such as democracy, equality before the law, religious freedom, and freedom of speech. She earned a law degree from the University of Tehran. From 1975 to 79, she served as the president of the City Court of Tehran. After the revolution in 1979, she was forced to resign. Previously a professor at the University of Tehran, she now works as a lawyer. As a lawyer, Dr. Ebadi has been involved in a number of controversial political cases. She was the attorney for the families of writers and intellectuals who were victims of the serial murders in 1999 to 2000. She has also worked actively to reveal the principles behind the attack on students at Tehran University in 1999, where several students died. As a consequence, she has been imprisoned on numerous occasions. Please welcome Dr. Ebadi to present this evening's E.N. Thompson Forum, titled True Islam, Human Rights, Faith, and Women.
ریاست محترم دانشگاه، اساتید گرامی، دانشجویان عزیز، خانم ها و آقایان.
A respectable chancellor of the university, dear and respectable professors, dear students, ladies and gentlemen.
بسیار خوشحالم که توانستم برای اولین بار بیام به ایالت حاصلخیز شما و از نزدیک با مردم مهربان شهر و ایالت شما آشنا بشم.
I am very glad that I had the opportunity to come to your state which produces food, and to meet its very warm and nice people.
و همچنین افتخار میکنم که در این دانشگاه امشب با شما صحبت میکنم.
And I'm also very proud to be speaking at this university with you.
و از همه کسانی که برای برپایی این جلسه زحمت کشیدن سپاسگزاری می‌کنم.
And I also want to thank all the organizers of tonight.
خانم ها آقایان، از دیروز مذاکرات آمریکا و دولت ایران در مورد مسئله انرژی هسته‌ای در قزاقستان شروع شد.
Ladies and gentlemen, yesterday was the beginning of the negotiations of the government of the United States with the government of Iran regarding the nuclear issue.
این مذاکرات ادامه داره و هنوز نتیجه اون رو اعلام نکردن.
These negotiations continue and the results have not been announced yet.
من امیدوارم که مذاکرات به نتیجه برسه و حکومت ایران قبول کنه حقوق بین الملل رو و به قطعنامه های شورای امنیت سازمان ملل متحد گردن بنهه.
I hope that they reach a desirable conclusion and the government of Iran accepts the resolutions of the United Nations and the international community and enforces them.
همین در ماه گذشته مؤسسه گالوب آماری رو منتشر کرد که بسیار باعث تعجب منه.
In the past month, the Gallup Institute published statistics which are very surprising to me.
مؤسسه گالوب عنوان کرد که در یک نظرسنجی که از مردم ایران کرده بیش از 50% مردم ایران موافق غنی‌سازی اورانیوم و ادامه برنامه‌های هسته‌ای حکومت هستند.
The Gallup Institute claims that upon a study that has been conducted in Iran, over 50% of the people of Iran agree with the nuclear program of the government.
و همچنین حدود در رابطه سیاسی ایران و آمریکا بیش از 60% مردم آمریکا رو مقصر می‌دونن.
And regarding the relations between Iran and America, over 60% of the people think America is at fault.
مسئله مهم این است که دولت ایران به آمارگرها اجازه ورود به ایران رو نمیده.
The important issue here is that the government of Iran does not permit live people to go and take statistics.
و حکومت ایران یه حکومت پلیسی امنیتیه که مردم آزادی بیان و گفتار ندارن.
The government of Iran is a police state, a security state, and people do not have the right of free speech.
و مؤسسه گالوب به وسیله تلفن و ایمیل این نظرسنجی رو انجام داد.
So the study has been conducted by Gallup via telephone and emails.
خیلی طبیعی است که در یک حکومت پلیسی مردم جرأت نمی‌کنن خلاف حکومت صحبت بکنن.
It's very natural that in a police state people do not dare speak against the government.
شما تصور کنید که کسی در خونه‌اش نشسته و تلفن می‌زنن و میگن که خب شما فکر می‌کنید حکومت ایران مقصره یا حکومت آمریکا؟ فکر می‌کنید طرف چه جوابی می‌تونه بده؟
Just imagine sitting in your living room, someone calls and asks you, do you think that Iran is at fault or America? What do you think that person is going to respond?
با توجه به اینکه اکثر تلفن‌ها کنترل میشه.
Specifically with regards to the fact that most telephone conversations are under control and tapped.
و همچنین ایمیل ها رو کنترل میکنن، بنابراین وقتی که ایمیلی میرسه که آیا شما با ادامه غنی‌سازی موافقید یا نه، کمتر کسی جرأت میکنه که حرفی رو که دلش میخواد بزنه.
And also emails are under control, so when one receives an email asking them whether they agree with the a nuclear program, very few people may say what they want to say.
و من به عنوان یک استاد دانشگاه بسیار تعجب میکنم که مؤسسه گالوب چطور این آمار رو منتشر کرده.
And as a professor of a university, I'm surprised how Gallup has published these statistics.
اصولا یکی از اختلافات مردم ایران با حکومت سر مسئله انرژی هسته‌ای، برای اینکه مردم موافق نیستند.
In general, one of the oppositions of the people to the government is the issue of nuclear energy. People do not agree with that program.
این انرژی برای زیست محیطی ایران مضر، از جمله اینکه ایران رو خط زلزله است و امکان تکرار فاجعه فوکوشیما هست.
This is not good for the environment in Iran, and besides the fact that Iran is located on earthquake faults, and there is always the danger of an event like the Fukushima event.
ادامه اصرار بر غنی‌سازی اورانیوم حکومت باعث تحریم‌های شدیدی شده که منجر به گسترش فقر در بین مردمه.
Insisting on the nuclear program and on the continuation of such program has resulted in placing sanctions that have resulted in the poverty of the people.
بنابراین من به عنوان یک ایرانی واقعا در نتیجه که گالوب گرفته شک میکنم.
Therefore, as an Iranian, I really am suspicious of the results that Gallup has published.
اعتراض دیگر مردم به حکومت ایران مربوط است به سیاست خارجی حکومت.
The other objection of the people of Iran to their government is the foreign policy of the government.
من که این سیاست غلط باعث شده ایران منزوی بشه.
And this wrong foreign policy has resulted in the isolation of Iran.
من به چند مورد اشاره میکنم.
I will give you a few examples.
در حالتی که در اثر قیام مردمی در سوریه بیش از 100,000 نفر کشته شدند و 1,000,000 نفر آواره شدند و بشار اسد روی مردمش بم میریزه و اونا رو با موشک میزنه.
Whereas as a result of the uprising of the people in Syria, 100,000 people have been killed, over 1,000,000 have been dispersed and are refugees, and Bashar Assad bombards his people.
حکومت ایران با ارسال نیروی نظامی و همچنین اسلحه و پول به کمک بشار اسد آمده و او رو کمک میکنه در کشتار مردم.
The government of Iran, through sending military personnel, arms, and money, supports Bashar Assad and helps him in killing his own people.
همچنین در این ماه یک کشتی حامل اسلحه توقیف شد که این کشتی رو دولت ایران برای شورشیان یمن فرستاده بود.
Also during the past month, a ship was forfeited during which process arms were found on the ship that the government of Iran had exported for the people of Yemen, for the people who were about to riot in Yemen.
اشتباهات حکومت ایران در زمینه سیاست خارجی خیلی بیشتر از این است. من اینا رو فقط به عنوان نمونه گفتم و به هر حال این سیاست باعث شده که حکومت ایران هر چی بیشتر منزوی بشه.
Iran has committed many wrongs in its foreign policy. I just gave you a few examples, but what I want to say here is that the foreign policy of Iran has resulted in its isolation.
و اما اعتراض مهم مردم به نقض گسترده و مستمر حقوق بشر در ایران.
And the other issue is the very strong objection of the people to violations of human rights in Iran.
مردم ایران در سال 1979 انقلاب کردند و یک رژیم سلطنتی رو ساقط کردند.
The people of Iran in 1979 through a revolution toppled the monarchy.
اما رفتن یک دیکتاتور به منزله آمدن دموکراسی نیست.
But ousting a dictator does not guarantee democracy.
همچنانی که در کشورهای عربی که اخیراً قیام کردن و دیکتاتورها رو بیرون کردن مثل مصر و تونس و لیبی دیدیم که دیکتاتورها رفتن ولی که متاسفانه تا الان دموکراسی نیامده.
And we have seen recently in the Arab Spring in countries like Egypt, like Libya, like Tunisia, the dictators have been ousted, but we still don't see democracy there.
و به همین دلیل مردم این کشورها خصوصا مردم مصر عنوان میکنن که انقلاب ادامه داره.
And this is why the people of these countries, specifically the people of Egypt, state that the revolution is still ongoing.
در ایران بعد از انقلاب 1979 یک حکومت اسلامی تأسیس شد که استبدادش حتی از شاه هم بیشتر بود.
After the revolution in Iran, a religious Islamic government came to existence, which is even a stronger dictatorship than the Shah's regime.
برای اینکه استبداد مذهبی شدیدتر از استبداد سیاسی هم هست.
Because religious dictatorship is stronger than political dictatorship.
بعد از انقلاب 1979 تغییرات زیادی در قوانین صورت گرفت.
After the revolution of 1979, many changes were made in the laws.
از جمله در قوانین تبعیض بر اساس مذهب تصویب کردند.
For example, in the laws, discrimination on the basis of religion has been approved.
که من به چند نمونه اونها اشاره میکنم.
And I will give you a few examples of those.
طبق قانون ارزش جان زن نیمی از ارزش جان مرده، یعنی اگر من و برادرم با هم بریم خیابون و با اتومبیل تصادف کنیم و یکسان هم صدمه ببینیم، اما خسارت که به برادرم میدن چون مرده دو برابر خسارتی است که به من میدن به خاطر اینکه زنم.
Pursuant to the laws, the life of a woman is worth half of that of a man. This means that if me and my brother go on the street and get involved in an accident and are injured the same, the compensation paid to me is half of that paid to my brother.
طبق قانون شهادت دو زن معادل با شهادت یک مرد در دادگاه.
Pursuant to the law, testimony of two women in court equal testimony of one man.
یه مرد میتونه چهار تا زن بگیره، هر وقت دلش خواست زنش طلاق بده، ولی کن طلاق گرفتن برای زن بسیار دشوار و گاه غیر ممکنه.
A man can marry four wives. He can divorce his wife anytime that he pleases. But divorce is very difficult for women, sometimes even impossible.
و بسیاری قوانین تبعیض‌آمیز دیگر.
And many other discriminatory laws.
اونها این قوانین رو بر جامعه ای تحمیل کردند که زنان بسیار تحصیل کرده و لایق داره.
These laws have been imposed on a society which has very well educated and meritorious women.
بیش از 60% از دانشجویان دانشگاه های ایران دخترند.
Over 60% of the university students in Iran are female.
تعداد بسیار زیادی از استادای دانشگاه های ما زنند.
Many of our university professors are women.
زنها در کلیه مشاغل اجتماعی حضور فعال دارند.
Women are present in all social professions.
زنان ایران بیش از 50 ساله که حق رأی به دست آوردن و به پارلمان رفتند، حتی قبل از زنان سوئیس.
The women of Iran gained the right to vote over 50 years ago and they were elected to the parliament. This is even before women in Switzerland gained such vote.
و خیلی طبیعیه که این قوانین تبعیض‌آمیز شایسته زنان ایران نیست.
Evidently, these discriminatory laws are not compatible with the merits of Iranian women.
به همین دلیل زنها با حکومت ایران مخالف هستند و جنبش فمینیستی در ایران خیلی قویه.
This is why women do not agree with the government of Iran and the feminist movement is very strong in Iran.
طبق قانون تبعیض بر اساس مذهب وجود داره.
Also, pursuant to the law, discrimination on the basis of religion exists.
مذهب رسمی در طبق قانون اساسی شیعه است، ولی کن سایر فرق اسلامی و همچنین یهودی و مسیحی و زرتشتی به رسمیت شناخته شده.
The official religion of the country is Shiism, but other branches of Islam, also Zoroastrianism, Judaism, and Christianity have been recognized officially.
و این بدان معناست که سایر مذاهب رو قانون به رسمیت نمیشناسه از جمله بهائی ها رو.
This means that other religions are not recognized officially, for example, Baha'is.
و بهائی ها از کلیه حقوق مدنی و سیاسی اجتماعی خودشون محرومن، حتی از ابتدای انقلاب به این طرف نتوانستن دانشگاه برن.
And the Baha'is are deprived of their civil, political, and social rights. From the beginning of the revolution, they have been prohibited from attending universities.
اما تبعیض بر اساس مذهب منحصر به بهائی‌ها نیست. حتی ادیانی که در قانون به رسمیت شناخته شدند هم حقوق مساوی با مسلمان‌ها ندارند.
But discrimination is not only against the Baha'is, even the religions that have been recognized in the law are not equal to the Islam.
که من یک نمونه به شما میگم.
I will give you an example now.
طبق قانون جزا، مجازات فعل واحد بر حسب اینکه مرتکب مسلمان باشه یا غیر مسلمان مجازاتش فرق میکنه.
Pursuant to the penal code, an act if committed by a Muslim and a non-Muslim can bear different punishments.
طبق قانون زن و مردی که هیچ کدام ازدواج نکرده باشن، اگر با همدیگه رابطه جنسی پیدا کنن، این عمل در قانون جرمه و مجازات هر کدوم 100 ضربه شلاق.
Pursuant to the laws, if a woman and a man, neither of them being married, get involved in sexual relations, they have committed a crime. The crime bears 100 lashes of flogging for each person.
اما اگر دختر مسلمان و مرد غیر مسلمان، مثلا مسیحی باشه، مجازات دختر همان 100 ضرب شلاقه، ولی که مجازات مرد از 100 ضرب شلاق تبدیل میشه به اعدام و مرد رو اعدام میکنند.
But if the girl is a Muslim and the man is a non-Muslim, for example a Christian, the punishment of the girl would still be the 100 lashes of whipping, whereas the punishment of the man would increase to death penalty.
تبعیض بر اساس مذهب در قوانین خیلی دامنش فراتر از این حرف است. و اما من به طور فقط یک مثال زدم.
And of course it's more expanded than the example that I gave you, but I will suffice to the one example.
آزادی بیان در ایران بسیار محدوده.
Freedom of speech in Iran is very limited.
طبق آماری که سازمان گزارشگران بدون مرز منتشر کرده، از جهت احترام به آزادی مطبوعات بین 179 کشور، ایران 174مین شده.
Pursuant to a report of the Reporters Without Borders, so far as respect for freedom of speech of the media is concerned, among 179 countries, Iran is the 174th.
تعداد زندانیان سیاسی و عقیدتی ما متاسفانه خیلی بالاست.
Unfortunately, the number of political and ideological prisoners is very high.
کوچکترین انتقادی و یا نوشتن یک مقاله انتقادآمیز می تواند منجر به دستگیری و حبس فرد بشه.
The slightest criticism or even writing an article can result in the arrest and imprisonment of the person.
در موارد متعدد دیده شده که تحت فشار و شکنجه کسی را وادار می‌کنند که علیه خودش به دروغ اعتراف بکنه، بعد این رو در تلویزیون پخش می‌کنند.
In many instances it has been seen that people break their silence and admit against themselves under torture, and then their admission is televised.
و به همین دلیل ایران رو تحریم ماهواره‌ای کردند بعضی از کشورها و اجازه نمیدن که از ماهواره‌هاشون تلویزیون‌های برون‌مرزی ایران پخش بشه.
And this is why sanctions have been placed against Iran in regards to the use of satellites for broadcasting programs that Iran prepares for for outside the country.
و اکنون مایلم به یک مسئله مهمتر بپردازم و این است که توجیه ایران برای تصویب قوانین تبعیض‌آمیز و غیر عادلانه چیه؟
But the more important issue that I want to talk about tonight is what is the justification of Iran for having passed these discriminatory laws?
حکومت ایران مدعی است که این قوانین ناشی از شریعت اسلامه.
The government of Iran claims that these laws are based on Islamic Sharia.
و مردم رو به مردم میگوید یا مسلمان هستید که این قوانین رو باید قبول کنید یا اینکه بگید مسلمان نیستید که در اون صورت یک مجازات بسیار سنگین در انتظار هر کسی است که بخواد اعلام بکنه مسلمان نیست.
The government tells the people you're either a Muslim and you accept these laws or you're not a Muslim, and heresy of course bears one of the very strong punishments that we can think of.
اسلام مانند هر دین و ایدئولوژی دیگری تفسیرهای مختلفی داره.
Like any other religion and ideology, Islam has different interpretations.
ببینید در غرب یک کلیسا سخت جنین رو قبول داره و یک کلیسا اون رد میکنه و هر دو تا هم پیرو دین مسیح هستن.
In the West, there are churches that accept abortion. There are churches that do not accept abortion, and they're both Christian churches.
من به خاطر دارم که دو سال قبل در یکی از معروف‌ترین دانشگاه‌های آمریکا سخنرانی داشتم. در رسپشنی که بود، کشیش دانشگاه با من صحبت می‌کرد و خیلی باز و راحت گفتش که من همجنسگرا هستم و پارتنرش رو با من معرفی کرد.
I remember approximately 2 years ago I was speaking at one of the very well-known universities in America. The pastor of the church there came to me and very openly and easily stated that he was gay and he introduced his partner to me.
در حالتی که کشیش های دیگری هستن که این کار رو منع میکنن.
Whereas there may be other pastors or priests that do not agree with that and prohibit it.
و همه اینها پیرو یک دین هستن.
Whereas they all follow the same religion.
بنابراین چیز عجیبی نیست اگر بگویم اسلام هم تفسیرهای مختلفی داره.
Therefore it's not strange if I say that Islam has different interpretations too.
نگاهی به وضعیت زنان در کشورهای اسلامی این ادعا رو ثابت میکنه.
If we look at the plight of women in different Islamic countries, we can prove that.
به عنوان مثال در کشور عربستان سعودی زنها حتی نمیتوانند رانندگی کنند.
For example, in Saudi Arabia, women cannot even drive.
چه برسه به اینکه وارد مشاغل سیاسی بشن.
Let alone holding political positions.
اما در کشور دیگری به نام اندونزی که مهمترین کشور اسلامیه برای اینکه بیشترین تعداد مسلمان‌ها یعنی 200 میلیون بیش از 200 میلیون مسلمان در زندگی می‌کنه از سال‌ها قبل یک زن توانست رئیس جمهور بشه.
But in a country like Indonesia, which has the most number of Muslims, the population is over 200 million Muslims, a woman became the president years ago.
یا در کشورهای مثل پاکستان و بنگلادش از سالها قبل زنان توانستند نخست وزیر و رئیس جمهور بشن.
Or in countries like Bangladesh and Pakistan, from years ago, we have had women prime ministers and presidents.
بنابراین حالا به من بگید که کدام یک از این کشورها دارن اسلام اجرا میکنن؟
So please let me know which one of these countries are enforcing Islam.
یا اینکه مجازات‌هایی مثل قطع دست دزد و سنگسار در کشورهای معدودی باقی ماندن هنوز مثل عربستان سعودی و ایران که بعد از انقلاب این مجازات ها رو وارد قانونش کرد.
Or punishments such as cutting off the hands of a thief or stoning. They are only enforced in very few countries. For example, Saudi Arabia and unfortunately in Iran after the revolution such laws were passed.
اما بسیاری از کشورهای اسلامی این گونه مجازات ها را از بین بردن مثل مصر، تونس، الجزایر، مالزی.
But many other Islamic countries have put an end to such punishments like Indonesia, like Egypt, like Tunisia, like Algeria.
بنابراین می‌بینیم که حکومت های غیر دموکراتیک اسلامی مانند ایران از نام اسلام سوء استفاده می کنند برای اینکه استبداد فکری خودشون رو توجیه کنند.
Therefore, as we can see, the non-democratic governments that are Islamic, like the government of Iran, abuse the word Islam in order to justify their dictatorship.
البته در اینجا باید اعلام بکنم که من معتقد هستم اولین پله دموکراسی جدایی هر دین یا هر نوع ایدئولوژی از حکومت.
But right here I have to state that I believe in separation of church and or state or separation of any religion and ideology from the government.
زیرا حکومت ها نتوانند از اعتقادات مذهبی مردم سوء استفاده کنند.
In this way the governments cannot abuse the emotional beliefs of people.
اما اگر در جایی مردم آزادانه به یک حزب اسلامی رأی دادند و یک گروه اسلامی به قدرت رسید چی کار باید کرد؟
But if people freely elect a president, for example, from an Islamic party, what do we do then?
مثل اتفاقی که در سال 1979 در ایران افتاد و بیش از 95% مردم ایران به حکومت جمهوری اسلامی رأی دادن.
Like what happened in Iran in 1979, over 95% of the population of Iran voted for an Islamic government.
یا اتفاقی که مثلا در مصر و تونس افتاده و مردم خودشون به حزب اسلامی رأی دادن.
Or what has happened in Tunisia and Egypt recently and people have voted for an Islamic party.
در چنین صورتی بایستی گفتش که دموکرات بودن حکومت فقط ناشی از رأی نیست که از مردم میگیره.
Under these conditions we have to say that the democratic characteristic of a government is not only dependent on the votes of the people.
فراموش نکنیم که بسیاری از دیکتاتورها با دموکراسی یعنی با رأی مردم به قدرت رسیدن مثل هیتلر.
Let's not forget that many dictators were elected by the votes of the people, like Hitler.
بنابراین پیروزی در انتخابات به معنای دموکراسی نیست.
Therefore, winning in elections does not mean democracy.
دموکراسی یک چارچوبی داره که باید رعایت بشه.
Democracy has a framework which has to be observed.
یعنی حکومت اکثریتی که با رأی مردم انتخاب شدن بایستی فقط در محدوده اون چارچوب حکومت کنند.
This means that the majority that have been elected by the people have to work within that framework.
چارچوب دموکراسی ضوابط حقوق بشره.
The framework of democracy is the standards of human rights.
به عبارت دیگر حکومت‌ها مشروعیت خودشونو فقط از صندوق رأی نمی‌گیرن، بلکه مشروعیت خودشونو از صندوق رأی و احترام به حقوق بشر توأمن می‌گیرن.
In other words, governments don't get their legitimacy only from the votes of people. They get their legitimacy from the votes of the people and respect for human rights.
خوشبختانه اسلام دینی است که با تفسیر درست قابل انطباق با حقوق بشر هست.
Fortunately, Islam is a religion that if interpreted correctly will it has the potential of compatibility with human rights.
و حکومت‌های اسلامی حق ندارند به بهانه مذهب و یا به بهانه اینکه مردم به اونها رأی دادند ضوابط حقوق بشر را رعایت نکنند.
And Islamic governments do not have the right to disregard standards of human rights on the basis of religion or the fact that they have gained the right, the votes of the people.
نسبیت فرهنگی به هیچ وجه مجوز تخطی به حقوق بشر نیست.
Cultural relativity in no way permits violations of human rights.
و این مسئله است که مسلمانان بایستی روش بسیار دقت کنند.
And this is an issue that Muslims have to pay a lot of attention to.
در کشورهایی که قیام کردند و دیکتاتورهای عرب رو مثل حسنی مبارک بن علی قذافی رو بیرون کردند، امیدوارم که سرنوشت مردم مانند سرنوشت ایرانی ها بعد از انقلاب نشه.
I hope that the people who have uprisen in Arabic countries like Egypt, like Libya and like Tunisia do not face the same destiny that the people of Iran faced.
در ایران مردم برای دموکراسی سال‌هاست که دارن مبارزه می‌کنن.
In Iran people have been fighting for democracy for years.
اما مردم ایران در 34 سال گذشته یک انقلاب و 8 سال جنگ با عراق رو داشتن و دیگه از خونریزی خسته هستن.
But the people of Iran have had a revolution and 8 years of war with Iraq during the last 34 years and they are tired of bloodshedding.
و به همین دلیل خواهان رفرم هستن، یعنی میخوان هر اتفاقی که در ایران میفته مسالمت آمیز باشه.
That's why they want reform. This means that whatever happens has to be peaceful.
و خوشبختانه ایران پتانسیل‌های خوبی برای رفرم داره.
And fortunately Iran has good potential for reform.
جنبش کارگری در ایران خیلی قویه.
The workers movement is very strong in Iran.
جنبش فمینیستی، جنبش دانشجویی، اینها بسیار قویه.
The feminist movement, the student movement are both very strong in Iran.
و جامعه مدنی در ایران خیلی پویاست.
The civil society in Iran is very active.
و من مطمئنم که دموکراسی به ایران خواهد آمد.
And I'm sure that democracy will come to Iran.
و تا آن روز یکایک ایرانیان به مبارزه خودشون ادامه خواهند داد.
And until that day, each Iranian will continue his or her struggle.
متشکرم از اینکه به حرفای من گوش کردید. سوالی باشه در اختیار شما هستم.
Thank you very much for having listened to me. If there are questions, I'll take them.
Thank you very much. If you have questions, please get a card from one of the ushers and write your questions on the card, give it back to the ushers, and they will bring them to the front so that we can ask those questions this evening. While waiting for some questions to come from you in the audience, let me begin with a question that comes from one of the students in the Thompson Scholars. What limitations do you think a strict theocracy like Iran would face if democratic rights were afforded to all people?
من تعریف خودم رو از دموکراسی بیان کردم.
I gave you my explanation of democracy.
و گفتم که دموکراسی به منزله حکومتی است که با رأی مردم به قدرت میرسه و ضوابط حقوق بشر رو رعایت میکنه.
And I said that in a democracy, the government has to be elected by the votes of the people and has to observe the standards of human rights.
و چون اولین اصل حقوق بشر تساوی افراد است، صرف نظر از جنسیت، مذهب، نژاد، بنابراین ما تمام این قوانینی رو که براتون گفتم از بین خواهد رفت.
And since the first principle of human rights is equality of all people, regardless of gender, regardless of religion, regardless of race, and so on, if democracy comes, all of the laws that I talked about tonight here, which are discriminatory, have to come to an end and be repealed.
اجازه بدین اضافه بکنم که مردم ایران همونطوری که گفتم سالها برای دموکراسی دارن مبارزه میکنن.
And as I said earlier, I want to add that the people of Iran have been fighting for years for democracy.
و روز به روز بر مخالفین حکومت اضافه میشه و حکومت ضعیف پایگاه مردمیش داره ضعیفتر میشه.
And every day the number of the opposition grows and the government loses its base among people.
و در چنین شرایطی فقط یک دشمن خارجی و یک حمله نظامی میتونه به نفع حکومت تموم بشه.
Under these conditions, only a foreign enemy or a military attack would be to the advantage of the government.
یعنی اگر به ایران حمله نظامی بشه، مردم اختلافاتشون رو با حکومت فراموش میکنن و از خاکشون دفاع میکنن. یعنی روند دموکراسی به تعویق میفته.
This means that if Iran is attacked militarily, the people will forget about their differences with their government and defend their country. And again, it means that democracy will be postponed.
دموکراسی فقط در یک محیط آرام و صلح‌آمیز رشد می‌کنه.
Democracy can only grow in a peaceful country.
به همین دلیل مردم ایران ضمن انتقاداتی که به سیاست خارجی دولت ایران دارن شدیداً مخالف حمله نظامی به ایران هستند.
This is why the people of Iran, although they have strong criticisms against the foreign policy of Iran, they still are against a military attack on Iran.
Would you talk more about how feminists or women are active in Iran under such oppressive observation from the government or control?
در ایران زنانی که برای برابری حقوق مبارزه میکنند با سرکوب حکومت مواجه میشن.
In Iran, women who fight for equal rights are oppressed by the government.
و ما در حال حاضر بیش از 50 زن فمینیست در زندان داریم.
At the present time, we have over 50 feminist women in prison.
دادستان اینها رو متهم میکنه به اقدام علیه امنیت ملی.
The charges brought by the prosecutor against them is having taken measures against the national security.
من وکالت تعدادی از این زنها رو بر عهده داشتم.
I represented some of these women.
و در دادگاه به دادستان گفتم که اگر یه زنی بگوید که من نمیخواهم همسرم زن دیگری بگیرد، آیا این باعث میشود که آمریکا با ما حمله کنه؟
And when I was in court, I told the prosecutor, if a woman says, I don't want my husband to marry another wife, does that mean that America is going to attack us?
متاسفانه دادگاه‌ها در ایران مستقل عمل نمی‌کنند.
Unfortunately, courts are not independent in Iran.
و یکی از علائم ضعیف شدن دموکراسی این است که استقلال دادگاه‌ها از بین می‌ره.
And one of the signs of the weakness of democracy is when courts do not have independence.
و به همین دلیل ما تعدادی از فمینیستامون در زندانه.
And this is why many of our feminists are in prison.
اما زندان هر زنی رو که زندان میاندازن 10 نفر دیگه جاش میان.
But for each woman put in prison 10 replace them.
من یک نمونه میگم از موکلی که داشتم تا بدانید زنها چطور مبارزه میکنه.
And I will give you an example from one of my clients so that you will know better how women fight.
من موکل من دختر جوانی بود که ضمناً خبرنگار هم بود و به خاطر نوشتن چند مقاله اعتراضی نسبت به این قوانین تبعیض‌آمیز دادستان او رو تحت تعقیب قرار داد.
My client, who was a young woman, was a journalist, and the prosecutor had taken her to court for having written a few articles criticizing the government.
روزی که رفته بودیم پیش دادستان برای شروع تحقیقات، دادستان بهش گفتش که بایستی یک وثیقه سنگین بدی با مبلغ بالا که تا من اجازه بدم روز تا روز محاکمه آزاد باشی.
When the investigation started, the prosecutor informed her that if she placed a very hefty bail, that he would release her until the trial started.
و این دختر جوان گفتش که نه، من این کارو نمی کنم برای اینکه من بیگناهم، اما قول میدم که حتما برای محاکمه بیام برای اینکه من کاری نکردم.
But then this young girl said, "No, I can't do that. But I will promise you to be present on the day of trial because I'm innocent and there's nothing to be afraid of. I haven't done anything wrong."
دادستان که عصبانی شده بود گفتش که خب من تو رو میندازم زندان و در بدترین قسمت زندان، یعنی زنای جایی که زنای جانی هستن، اونجا میگم نگره دارن تا خودت یک هفته بعد بیای التماس کنان بگی که وثیقه میگذاری.
But the prosecutor got very angry at her and said that I will send you to prison and I will keep you with women who have committed murders so that you will understand what that is. Then you'll come to me and ask to place bail and be released.
و چون موکل من حاضر نشد که وثیقه بذاره به زندان فرستادنش.
And since she did not ask for bail, they sent her to jail.
دو روز بعد دیدم که از زندان زنگ میزنه و میگه که اینجا 7-8 تا زن هستن که محکومیت های بالا دارن ولی که وکیلم نداشتن، میشه برای اینا وکیل تعیین کنی؟
2 days later, she called me and she said that there are 7 or 8 women here who have been charged with serious crimes and they don't have an attorney. Can you come up with attorneys for them?
من به همکارانم که این گونه پرونده ها رو رایگان قبول میکردن از اونا خواهش کردم که چند نفر رفتن و وکالت اونا رو گرفتن.
I asked my colleagues who worked pro bono on such cases to go talk to these people and they accepted representation of them.
بعد یه هفته بعد تلفن زد گفتش که اینجا کتابخانه قسمت زنان زندان کتابخانه نداره، میشه به همه دوستان و گروه ما بگی که هر کی 5 تا کتاب از کتابخونه‌اش برداره بیاره بده ماما که ما یک کتابخونه درست کنیم.
Then a week later she called and she said there is no library in the women's prison. Can you ask all the colleagues and all your colleagues and the people that we know each to bring 5 books so that we can create a library for the women in prison?
ظرف چند روز یک کتابخونه خوب توی زندان درست شد.
And in a few days a good library was set up in prison.
و زنهایی که تو زندان بودن و جالی بودن وقتی که دیدن این انقدر براشون خوب کار میکنه یواش یواش به این نزدیک شدن و باهاش رفاقت میکردن.
And women who had been accused of serious crimes when they saw what she's doing for them trusted her and befriended her.
بعد اون شروع کرد که کلاس حقوق زن واسه این زنها گذاشت و به اونا درس میداد که چقدر قانون به اینها ظلم میکنه و اونا رو آگاه میکرد.
Then she started teaching them a class on women's rights and talked to them about the discriminatory laws and all the injustices that exist in the laws against women.
چند روز از تشکیل این کلاس ها نگذشته بود که رئیس زندان سراسیمه رفت پیش دادستان.
She had only taught these classes for a few days when the head of the prison went to the prosecutor.
و گفتش که لطفاً اینو آزادش کنیم برای که همه زنان رو داره فمینیست میکنه تو زندان ما دیگه از احتش بر نمیاد.
And asked that this young girl be released because she's making because she's turning every woman in prison into a feminist and we cannot control her.
این یک نمونه از مبارزه زنان ایرانه.
This is one example of the struggle of the Iranian women.
One last question or request. Please tell more about the persecution of the Baha'i in Iran.
بهائی یک دین ایرانی است که حدود 200 سال قبل ایجاد شد.
Baha'ism is an Iranian religion which came into existence approximately 200 years ago.
حدود 300 هزار بهائی در ایران زندگی میکنه.
Approximately 300,000 Baha'is live in Iran now.
متاسفانه بهائی از تمامی حقوق مدنی و سیاسی خودشون محرومه.
Unfortunately, the Baha'is are deprived of their civil and political rights.
نه تنها نمیتوانند در ادارات شرکت‌های دولتی استخدام بشن، بلکه هر کاری که احتیاج به مجوز داشته باشه مثل رستوران، باز کردن رستوران هم محرومن برای اینکه به اونا هیچ نوع جوازی داده نمیشه.
Not only they cannot work for the government, they will not be employed by the government, but even if they want to engage in businesses where a license is required, they are not provided licenses.
بهائی‌ها حتی از رفتن به دانشگاه هم محروم هستند.
They are even deprived from going to universities.
از ابتدای انقلاب به این طرف اجازه ندادن که جوانای بهائی برن دانشگاه.
And from the beginning of the revolution up to now, the young Baha'is have not been permitted to attend university. And this is what I call a cultural genocide.
Baha'i‌ها برای اینکه تحصیل کنن جواناشون یک دانشگاه غیر رسمی تو منزل یکی از بهائی‌ها درست کردن.
But in order to send their young people to university and get them a university education, the Baha'is put up a university using the home of one of their co-patriots.
و چند استاد که بهائی بودن برای جوانها درس می‌دادن.
And there were a few professors who were also Baha'is and taught the young people.
متاسفانه حکومت متوجه دانشگاه غیر رسمی بهائی‌ها شد، دانشگاه رو بست و استادان هم دستگیر کرد و زندان انداخت.
Unfortunately, the government found out about the unofficial Baha'i university and apprehended, closed down the university, apprehended and imprisoned the professors.
الان تعدادی از زندانیان تعدادی از بهائی ها در زندان هستند.
At the present time, a number of Baha'is are in prison.
از جمله 7 نفر از لیدرهای بهائی ایران.
among them being seven of the Baha'i leaders in Iran. They have each received 20 years of imprisonment.
دادستان اینها رو متهم کرده بود به جاسوسی برای آمریکا و اسرائیل.
The prosecutor had charged them with espionage for Israel and the United States.
من وکیل رهبران بهائی بودم.
I was the attorney for the seven Baha'is.
و در دادگاه از اونها دفاع می‌کردم.
And defended them in court.
پرونده اونها رو خودم تماماً خوندم.
I read their file from the beginning till the end.
کوچکترین دلیلی که ادعای دادستان رو ثابت بکنه در پرونده نبود.
There was no evidence to prove the charge that the prosecutor had brought against them.
اما از اونجایی که دادگاه‌ها متأسفانه استقلال خودشون از دست دادن و تصمیم رو بر اساس خواسته مأمورین امنیتی می‌گیرن، اینها هر کدام به 20 سال حبس محکوم شدند.
But since the courts have lost their independence and their decisions are based on the demands of the security officers, each of these people received 20 years of imprisonment.
و الان نزدیک به 7 ساله که در زندان هستند.
And they have been in prison for approximately 7 years now.
و در بدترین شرایط به سر می‌برند.
And they live under very bad conditions.
و همونطوری که گفتم غیر از این 7 نفر تعداد دیگری از بهائیان تو زندانه.
And as I said earlier, on top of the 7 leaders, there are other Baha'is who are in prison.
به خاطر فشارهای بین المللی دادستان نمیتونه اینها رو رسما متهم کنه به اینکه به خاطر اینکه بهائی هستی میرین زندان. اما به اونا اتهام دیگری میچسبونه، اقدام علیه امنیت ملی یا جاسوسی.
Due to international pressure, prosecutors cannot announce that these people are in prison because they are Baha'is. That is why they come up with charges such as having taken measures against national security or espionage.
و من به عنوان وکیلی که تعدادی از پرونده ها رو دفاع کردم صراحتاً عنوان میکنم اینا به خاطر مذهبشون زندانی شدن.
As an attorney who has defended many of such cases, I expressly state that they are in prison due to their religion.
Please join me in thanking Shireen Ebadi for her lecture.
You've been listening to a program from the E. N. Thompson Forum on World Issues on Noon Forum. The E. N. Thompson Forum is co-sponsored by the Cooper Foundation, the LEAD Center, and the University of Nebraska at Lincoln. Today we've heard a talk by Shireen Ebadi, former professor at the University of Tehran, who earned the Nobel Peace Prize in 2003, recognizing her significant and pioneering efforts in democracy and human rights, especially for the rights of women, children, and refugees. She spoke on the topic, True Islam, Human Rights, Faith, and Women. Dr. Ebadi's remarks were given as the annual Lewis E. Harris Lecture on Public Policy. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Tuesday evening, February 26, 2013, for broadcast at this time. Special thanks to Katie Cervantes, E.N. Thompson Forum Coordinator, for helping to make the recording and broadcast of this program possible. Complete Noon Forum listings, as well as an archive of over 300 previous broadcasts, are available on our website, kios.org. Now, this is your producer and host, Bob Cote, thanking you for listening.